I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. It's time for our weekly visit to the barbershop, where the guys talk about what's in the news and what's on their minds. Sitting in the chairs for a shape-up this week are freelance writer Jimmy Israel, syndicated columnist Ruben Navarrete, civil rights attorney and editor Arsalan Iftikhar, and NPR's political editor Ken Rudin. Take it away, Jimmy.
Thanks, Michelle. Hey, fellas. Welcome to the shop. How we doing?
Hey, man. How you doing?
How you doing, Diggit?
Alrighty then.
You're fired, Ken.
And it was nice to meet you too when I was in D.C. last week, Ken. Thanks for that.
Hey, right, you guys, don't NAACP me.
Oh, right. No. Here we go.
Let's jump right in.
Switch to decaf, guys.
I don't want to scare anybody or anything like that, but Christine O'Donnell, Delaware's Republican nominee for Senate, she released an ad this week saying that she's not a witch.
Happy Halloween.
I'm glad you cleared that one up for us.
You know, it's always tricky when you have to release an ad telling people you're not a witch.
No, it's not a witch.
It's always complicated.
It was a typo.
Okay. See, all right. Just moving right along.
Let me just say for the record that my ex-wife tried that. It didn't work with me either.
The ad she took out in it. Okay.
No.
This is the specific facts are, in case anybody's interested, is that she used to appear quite often on Bill Maher. And Bill Maher, when he was at ABC, his program, what was it called? Politically Incorrect.
Right.
And she talked about how, when she was an activist, and she talked about how she dabbled in witchcraft but never joined a coven. Bill Maher has been playing this, you know, again and again on his new HBO show. And so in her campaign ad, she's trying to, you know, refute that. And she's wearing, you know, a black jacket and pearls and being very lovely. And let's just play a short clip of it just so you hear. Mm-hmm.
I'm not a witch. I'm nothing you've heard. I'm you. None of us are perfect, but none of us can be happy with what we see all around us. Politicians who think spending, trading favors, and backroom deals are the ways to stay in office. I'll go to Washington and do what you'd do. I'm Christine O'Donnell, and I approve this message. I'm you.
That is some of the scariest music I've ever
I love the music.
Backing music I've ever heard in any political message.
I want somebody
message.
To follow me around playing I'm that. You. I really yeah. do.
You know what?
Jimmy,
for
you
that,
know
Michelle.
What? I'm you.
Scare me
I'm
again, you. Please.
And I'm the one.
Listen. A-Train.
Yeah.
For me, the O'Donnell kerfluffle, it's kind of an embarrassing ruse for the Democrats. You know why? Because it gives more press time to an already unviable candidate. That is, you know, but we're not dealing with the issues. I mean, the problem, all the ribbing actually turns her into an underdog, and everyone likes an underdog. Now, she already had an upset in the primary, so the Dems, I think they're set to hand her another one.
That's
what do you think?
Well, I don't know about that. I think the last poll that came out showed her about down about 13 to 14 points. So, you know, I don't think that, you know, she is a viable candidate in the general election. What's interesting to me—
I said she was unviable.
Well, right, she is unviable, but I think it is having that, you know, this whole witchcraft thing is having an adverse effect on her. And let's not also forget that, you know, in addition to, you know, dabbling in witchcraft in high school, she was also, you know, against the master debaters in her high school crew as well.
But so what? I mean, let's talk about the issues. I think it makes the Dems look worse than it makes her look. That's what I think.
Well, Ken, I don't know. I mean, did the Democrats do this to her? I don't remember.
No, the only
put
I think
those
the,
words in
I think the only reason we're focusing on her. I mean, remember, there's also a Democrat named Alvin Green who's running in South Carolina, who's also a nut job. But I think the reason we're focusing not a nut job. I'm sorry, nut job. A
nice,
not a witch. He's like me. No, but I think
yeah, a nut job. Right.
But I think what it is that this was a seat the Republicans had in their hands. Had she not won the Republican primary, Mike Castle was going to win this Joe Biden Senate seat. And now it's just so startling that the Republican fortunes. But it reminds me, though, you know, you talk about Nixon saying, I'm not a crook, and Bill Clinton said, I didn't have sex with that woman. And so for her saying, I'm not a witch, it's kind of like, wow. But when you look at the ad, she seems normal. And even though, you know, you think of all her background and all the crazy things she said, you know, you keep talking about what country Barack Obama was born in, what planet was Christine O'Donnell born in? I mean, you just wonder about this. And yet when you watch the ad, it's reasoned, it's calm. Mm. And you know, but Jimmy, you say she's unviable. In this bizarre year of Tea Party upsets and everything, who's unviable anymore? You really don't even know.
Yeah, you're right about that.
What does Ruben think?
Well, I think, first of all, on the Bill Maher thing, let's be clear. Bill Maher had these clips, and he basically said, I'm going to continue to release these clips of your past appearances on my show unless you agree to go on my new show.
Right.
So as I wrote on my column about Christine O'Donnell some days ago, What that tells us is that liberal Democrats are not good with black magic, but they're okay with black male.
And so is that any different from you know, Fox berating Obama until he agrees to go on their show? What's the difference?
Because if you had those clips on somebody else, you wouldn't tell them, unless you come on Tell Me More, I'm going to continue to release these clips.
No, I wouldn't, but other people would. I mean,
and that's
so
what separates you from Bill Maher.
But, you know.
Right.
But I guess what I'm saying, that's
not... what makes you a grown-up and doesn't make Bill Maher a grown-up. So I just want to put that out there for starters. Black male. Oh. But the main thing that struck me about the primary with Christine O'Donnell is we typically hear this kind of arrogant condescension from liberals talking about people like Sarah Palin. But in this primary, we heard it all from conservatives. Conservatives quickly lost the moral high ground they used to claim, saying that there was only liberals who practiced this game. Charles Krautheimer, Newt Gingrich, Bill Kristol all came out against a number of radio talk show hosts, Hugh Hewitt, Michael Medved, all came out against Christine O'Donnell. They thought she wasn't smart enough to win. Unfortunately, a little thing like democracy got in the way, inconvenient thing that it is, and she beat Mike Castle, the establishment
Republican. So nobody's ever allowed to say they don't think somebody's qualified? You're saying that
is it the way they said it?
I mean, because if you don't think somebody's qualified, you're not supposed to say that. You're just supposed to say, yeah, absolutely, whatever.
It's the way they said it, that every name I mentioned was a bunch of men in the Republican Party who looked down their nose and thought this woman wasn't, you know, sufficiently – they thought she was light. She's trying to hold a position that was once held by Joe Biden. Now, talk about light. Talk about people who mangle the English language, who have soundbite problems, who make gaffes. And I wondered if there was a double standard there in terms of these men who are all Republicans. Let's be clear. They're all Republican conservatives.
Is it a matter of mangling your words, or is it a matter of not being adequately prepared or not having an adequate grasp of the issues? You can say whatever you want about Joe Biden.
Joe Biden,
you know, for when he was chairman of the Judiciary Committee, he would prep for weeks and weeks and weeks before
and still say something dumb before the cameras. I'm just talking about a double standard, Michelle, about the fact that women who make mistakes like this or mangle a word or whatever, you have people, again, on the right like George Bush, on the left like Joe Biden. We use a word like light, and we don't talk about men that way. We talk about women that
way.
Nobody ever talked about Dan Quayle like that? Well, yeah, this was coming from Republicans.
Okay.
And I think it was fair to say that to those Republicans, because if you care about democracy, you got to give her props. She beat that other guy. She was way underfunded. She beat Mike Castle in the primary. You know, leave her alone.
It wasn't about misstatements, though. I mean, it was about just positions that were so way out of the mainstream, and plus the fact that Republicans had a Senate seat in their grasp when they lost it, and they're just furious with her.
Well, we'll see. That's what elections are for, as Ruben pointed out. So if you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. We're having our weekly visit to the barbershop, and we're talking with Jimmy Israel, Ruben Navarrete, Arsalan Iftikhar, and Ken Rudin. Back to you, Jimmy.
Thanks, Michelle. So moving right along. Rick Sanchez broke his silence today. He granted his first interview since CNN very publicly parted ways with the former Rick's List anchor, Michelle.
Yeah, we talked about this a little bit, and people have been kind of weighing in all week on our blog about that. This morning he talked on ABC's Good Morning America with George Stephanopoulos and gave kind of his version of what was behind it. Does anybody want to hear a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Well, you know, again, he was kind of picking up on – there's a longer exchange, and he was talking a little bit about the fact that he was frustrated by the fact that the landscape in broadcast television is not as diverse as he feels that it should be. And here's a little bit of that exchange.
And look, I will be honest with you, and I hope you don't mind my saying this, but I'm just going to go ahead and say it. If you look at the landscape right now in our media, in prime time, there's not a single Hispanic. There's not a single African-American. In prime time, hosting a prime time show in the United States, which is 2020. I'm talking about newscasts in cable news. That's true. That's fair. I'm referring to cable newscasts, not magazine shows. There's not a single Hispanic, a single Asian American, or a single African American.
Connie Chung did have a show at CNN.
There's a lot of people who've had shows a little bit in the past. I'm talking about right now, though, George.
Well, yeah. Connie Chung isn't Hispanic, is she?
Yeah, well.
Oh, yeah, of course, on our mother's side.
Nobody covered Flora in that convo.
thanks for that, Michelle.
I don't think George Stephanopoulos gets it, and I don't think he got it there. If you have to reach back to the Connie Chung example, in both examples he mentioned, Elizabeth Vargas and Connie Chung, okay, those are co-anchors. The response, Rick blew that response. But if George Stephanopoulos had teed that softball up to me, here's what I would have said. In the primetime show 2020, Elizabeth Vargas is a co-anchor with Chris Cuomo. Okay, they're co-anchors. The Connie Chung experiment, famously on CBS, was a co-anchor experiment. My question is, when women get a chance to break through at that time, or in this case, minorities, ethnic minorities, an Asian woman, a Latina, why do they need a babysitter? Why do they need a co-anchor who tends to be a white male? but the white males are abundant in the industry. That was the proper response to George Stephanopoulos.
And Rick is a friend of yours, though, Ruben, right? Mm-hmm. To be fair, I mean, you wrote about this in one of your columns,
The fact that he's a friend of mine doesn't mean that I can't.
I'm just saying you wrote about this, George Stephanopoulos. Just give people the full flavor of what you had to say about this in your column. That's what I'm asking.
It's not
you.
His comments. Here's by way of background. I'm a contributor to CNN.com, and I do know Rick Sanchez, and I lamented the fact that we had just one, count them, one Latino anchoring a show on cable or network television, and now we have zero. And I think that was a real loss. But overall, I didn't defend what he said. I wrote a column saying it's indefensible. His comments about the most offensive thing that Rick Sanchez said was he downplayed and he dismissed the idea that Jews were an oppressed minority. And if you're in a minority, you ought not do that. It's bad form. It's not a good look for one minority to call out another and say, you know, I'm more oppressed than you are. And he doesn't know his history. He has to go back over 2,000 years of oppression of Jewish people all over the world, everywhere they've ever gone. So that's where he blew it. But where we blew it in our coverage of this issue and commenting on this issue for the last week or so is we didn't take seriously the one valuable thing that Rick Sanchez talked about, which is it is not an easy place to be a non-white journalist, a minority journalist in an institution where most of the people don't look like you. And, you know, whether you're Michelle Martin, a pioneer in broadcasting, who's done print, television, and radio, there is a story to tell there. And maybe they need to be told in great memoirs, but there's a story to be told there, and that's what Rick was trying to do, however inartfully.
Yeah, but that's like saying that, yes, Lou Dobbs is correct. There is an immigration problem in this country, and that's the issue he's trying to bring, and the borders are not secure and things like that. And then you go on and on and on ranting about Latinos and people who don't belong in this country. You lose the message. I think, yes, there is a legitimate question about the lack of diversity on TV and radio. And, of course, that's true. But to talk about the ranting, about the Jews controlling, we talked about this on the show on Tell Me More last week when Loretta Sanchez, who won this longtime Republican seat, the first Hispanic in 1996, and now she talks about how the Vietnamese are taking over the seat. That's the kind of language that just throws that whole argument out the window.
Right. I'm glad you brought that up because that's the thing that came to my mind as well. I don't know, Jimmy, what do you think? You want to have the final word on this before we get to baseball?
I don't know. I'm really thinking of Tony Manero right now. I know this is going to seem kind of off topic, but I'm thinking about Tony Manero. I'm thinking about Tony Manero's quote from Saturday Night Fever. He was saying that I'm paraphrasing here, but he says everybody's got to mess with everybody. You know, the blacks got to mess with the browns and, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, I think everybody's got their beef and somebody's got to take something out on somebody else. So that's what I say.
Okay, I don't really know what you're saying there, but so I guess can't we all get along? Maybe that was what he meant.
Basically. That.
All right, baseball. I'm sorry. We have to talk about baseball. Major League playoffs underway. Arcelan, help us.
Well, I think the highlight so far has obviously been Phillies pitcher Roy Halladay, who pitched a no-hitter in Game 1. First time since Don Larson in the 1956 World Series against the Brooklyn Dodgers. The Phillies are just operating on all cylinders right now.
Are you loving it, though? Because, you know, it's funny. The ratings have been down this season. The TV ratings have been down this season. I just think it's so exciting. I guess maybe I'm... I just think it's so exciting. Are you into it?
To be honest, no.
What?
Why is it
always me? Why am I always the outlier here?
Shock.
Why?
I mean, if you look at baseball compared to football and basketball, I mean, you have 3.5-hour games. You know, you have a 162 game season. For Ken Rudin, it's become an older person sport.
Oh my God!
I said it.
Oh, at least the Jews don't control baseball.
Oh, my goodness.
Here's the thing, though. I mean, as a long-suffering Yankees fan, we haven't won the World Series since 2009, okay?
Long-suffering.
No, but it's exciting. Roy Halladay, his whole great career.
That was great.
Time he's in, he pitches a no-hitter. He had a perfect game earlier this year.
Right.
Texas Rangers, who have never won a playoff season, a series in their career, in their history.
Yes.
They're leading Tampa Bay 2-0. And so that great pitching by San Francisco is very exciting. The weirdest thing, though, is that these playoffs in the World Series may go beyond Election Day, November 2nd, and what's going to win out with the American people? Are they going to care about the election or say, no, we're going to be watching baseball and then we'll worry about the election November 4th or November 5th when it's too late?
Ken, who do you like?
Well, I'm a Yankees fan, but I agree with Arcelon. The Phillies are just top. They have these three top of the line pitchers. They're hungry, even though they've won the pennant 2 years in a row, but they lost it last year to that team from the Bronx, which I am a personal fan of, and I think they're ready. But you know, a lot of things are strange. Texas is hitting.
Yeah.
It's very, very exciting. And Cincinnati, which of course is playing the Phillies, but the fact that they're in the playoffs for the first time all these years, that's exciting too.
Ruben, who do you like? Are you going with the Giants? Just because
I grew up with the Giants.
No, you're doing
I grew up
a geographic thing. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. I grew up in Central California. Half my friends are going to be Dodgers fans growing up, and half were Giants fans. We used to be Giants fans. Go up to the old Candlestick Park, watch the games. It's been a long, long drought for Giants fans. And one of the things that Ken talked about, it's absolutely right. What makes playoffs like this exciting is the fact that you have teams that have not been in it for a while or not been in it forever, and it mixes things up. And the Texas Rangers folks are happy, and the Giants folks are happy.
Yankees,
and I think it's great to watch.
Yankees.
Jimmy, what do you like? Last word.
Phillies.
Oh, okay, like that. So it's like that.
It is like that. Now,
Ken, you can come over to my house. The rest of y'all.
Yeah, I'm sitting next to two Yankees fans here, so come on.
So, oh. You know, it's New York, it's New York, it's New York.
It's been since 2009.
They
haven't won it since 2009.
They're just haters.
Nobody cares.
They're just haters.
Tell that to Cubs fans.
They're just haters. Jimmy Israel is a freelance journalist and author of the book, The Denzel Principle. He joined us from member station WCPN in Cleveland. Ruben Navarrete is a syndicated columnist with the Washington Post Writers Group. He also writes for CNN.com. He joined us from San Diego. Arcelon Iftikhar was here with us in our D.C. studios. He's the founder of TheMuslimGuy.com and a legal fellow for the Institute for Social Policy and Understanding. And Ken Rudin is NPR's political editor, our political junkie. He was here with us in our studio also. Thank you all so much.
Peace.
Thank you, Yankees.
Thank you.
Yep.
And that's our program for today. I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Let's talk more on Monday.